It's a blessing to see everybody here this morning at the Lord's house. Can everybody hear me all right? Can you hear me all right? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day and bringing us here once again to your house that we can assemble together as your children, Lord. We thank you for each and every one of the people gathered here together, Lord. We stand on your promise and thank you for it, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, that you're here in the midst of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Be with us as we examine your word, Lord. And we thank you for the blessed hope that one day we'll see you again and rise to meet you in the eastern sky, Lord. Be with us all. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father and Lord, this pestilence and this disease that surrounds us, we ask you to bring healing, Lord, and all the schools that's going back, Lord, be with them and protect us all from this virus that's around us, and not only it, but all the sickness, Lord. And please, Lord, we beg you to use us as tools in your hands to reach out to this lost and dying world, all these people that don't know you as Savior, Lord. We thank you, Father God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be back here in God's house this morning. Miss seeing everybody these past few weeks and being able to come here together. But praise God, we can today. If you've got your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And turn with me to verse 37. Luke 9 and 37. Luke 9 and 37. The Lord tells us, the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions, so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. "I beg your disciples to drive it out," but they could not. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to glean from it and draw nigh unto thee. In Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. We come here and he says, the next day when they came down from the mountain, that large crowd met him. And it says, a man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." And the spirit seized him. This evil spirit was going about him. His evil spirit was seizing him. It says he suddenly screams and it throws him into convulsions. What a terrible thing that poor boy was going through. The convulsions, the screaming from that evil spirit, so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him. He is dealing with this every day. And is destroying him. It's destroying him as he lives his life. But notice here in verse 40, he says, "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." If you'll turn with me just a couple pages in this Bible, maybe a page or two in yours, to the beginning of Luke chapter 9. We'll be right back there in that passage. Jesus sent out the 12 in 9 and 1, he says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Jesus gave these 12 disciples, he gives all his believers with the power of the Holy Spirit, these powers to drive out the demons. He says, and to cure diseases, he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He proclaims that very message to us today, to do the same thing by the power of the Holy Spirit. But notice here, just right there in the earlier part of this chapter, and we come back here to the latter part. He says, "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." It already done said that Jesus gave the authority and the power for his disciples to drive out these demons, to cast them out. But it says here in verse 40, "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." Why couldn't they? In verse 41, "You unbelieving and perverse generations." They didn't believe. They didn't have faith enough in God. God wants us. He's called me. He's called you. He's called each and every one of the children of God to a task at hand, to follow the Lord, to do his work and build his kingdom here on earth as we await his coming again. But so often we can have this same thing said to us, you unbelieving and perverse generation. So often we don't believe what God had to say. We don't take his book up and say, Lord, I believe it. We got to believe it. So many times we can say, I'm trying to believe the Bible, but it's a conscious decision. We have the choice to make. If you walk up to me and say, what time is it? And I say, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. You say, well, I'm trying to believe you, but I don't know if I can. It don't make any sense. It's the truth of the matter. If you ask me and it's 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. Or if it's 11, whatever time it may be, that's what it is. The Word of God is the same way. When God tells us something in His Word, we need to take it for the Word. Take it for what it is and believe Him. He said there, they couldn't do it. You unbelieving and perverse generation. It was twisted because they didn't believe what God had to say. Lord, help us. We read the book of Acts and we see the mighty works that were done by God's people. It was because they had faith enough. They believed God. They followed Him. They believed what He had to say. They didn't lay it aside. We need to get in God's Word and read it every day. Trust it. Believe what God had to say. How long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. Praise God. He's so merciful that He puts up with us, with our unbelief. And He's always wanting to guide us and show us the way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm tells us, bring your son here. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit. He healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. All those people were amazed at the greatness of God. But Jesus had gave his disciples the authority to cast out demons, the authority to proclaim his kingdom and do his work. He's given us the same authority. It's a spiritual battle. If you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about a little bit about this. The Bible tells us in this very chapter that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The disciples back then, they weren't wrestling against flesh and blood when that demon was attacking that boy, that impure, foul spirit. They were wrestling against the spiritual forces of darkness. And that's alive in this world today. And how is it that the disciples wouldn't conquer it? Because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe God's word. The same problem today. If there's spiritual strongholds in your life that the devil's trying to use, how is it that they're gotten rid of? By trusting in God, believing His Word, having faith in Him, not believing our own ways or doing it our ways. So many times, Jesus' disciples, they couldn't do something. They couldn't do God's will. They couldn't perform a miracle as He needed them to because they did not believe. He said, you believe not. Didn't have faith. Didn't trust Him. Didn't believe it. Our God is able. Our God is Almighty God. We look around here at this beautiful morning and God created everything. He says that even the numbers of our hairs is numbered. That's an amazing thing. I've been at the barber shop before and looked down and saw all that hair down there and thought, praise God, He knows how many's down there. He knows how much hair's on my head. He knows everything. He is Almighty God. We can trust Him. Verse 10 of chapter 6, He says, finally, be strong in the Lord. This is the same God that created heaven and earth, that sustains it, that holds it together. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The disciples weren't staying in His mighty power. So often we as God's children aren't following in God's power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit that our cup may run over. His mighty power, it says. He's finishing up this book of Ephesians and go back and read it. The whole thing is a blessed. Every book of the Bible is His mighty power. He gets through talking about the family and the family order. That's one of the things that the devil's attacking so adamantly to this very day. And at the end, He says, finally, brother, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. And we're going to get that armor here in a second. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor. We need the full armor of God. We need to put you on the Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible tells us. We need all of God. The Bible tells us to believe the whole counsel of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. We need to believe the whole thing. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. It's a personal thing to take your stand against the devil's schemes. King James says the wiles of the devil. The devil, the prince of darkness, the wicked one, the evil one, the enemy, the one that will be cast into hell with the demons for all eternity. He has a plan for your life, personally, your life, to ruin you and make you lose your soul. It's a systematic plan. It's the devil's schemes. He's got a plan. We as God's children, we're under the authority of God our Father. We don't have to follow Him. We don't have to fall for his schemes because we have the Word of God, but he's going to be knocking on your door every day. If you're not having the devil knock on your door trying to get you to temptation, getting you to turn away from God, then you better be careful and make sure you're falling towards God and not away from him. He says there, take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil has a systematic plan against you. We need to follow the Word of God because God says, I know the thoughts I say towards you. He's got plans for our lives, says the Lord. He's got a good plan for your life. Of peace, of truth, and heaven above in the New Jerusalem. We need to put on the full armor of God so that we, each one of us personally, can take our stand against the devil's schemes. And we can be used personally, each and every one of us, to be God's hands and feet in this world, to be the body of Christ. Take your stand, he says, against the devil's schemes. For in verse 12, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're not fighting against people here in this world. The true battle is on the spiritual realm, and we need to be walking in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to be following in the Spirit, and what God has to say, take your stand. We need to be standing up against the ways of darkness, standing up against the devil in this world. It's no mystery to look around and see the rampant anarchy in this world, the wickedness in this world, it's all about us. But praise God, it's not all bad. Praise God, with His Word and His people, there's a light. We're to call to reflect the light of our Heavenly Father down here below through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're not struggling against flesh and blood. If someone's acting wickedly, it's not just the flesh and blood. It's rooted in the spiritual battle because they're following the wrong spirit. We as God's children, we be following the Holy Spirit. We're not wrestling against them, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In the heavenly realms, where did sin start? It started with Satan's rebellion in heaven, and he was cast down, the Bible tells us. He's prowling about, seeking whom he may devour, but praise God, we stand on the Word of God. He can't devour you. He'll seek to. We're held in the palm of God's hand. Our salvation's held by God. Forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He's seeking to devour you, but praise God, if we stand on His Word, if we stand on His ways, stay close to the shepherd. The Bible says that we are the sheep of His pasture. We are God's sheep. All sheep, if a wolf comes up after a sheep and there's no shepherd, will be devoured. But if we stay close to our shepherd, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, He'll keep us away from the wolves. He'll walk the wolves away. We stay close to our shepherd, the true Jesus Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. And he gave his life for me and you on the cross of Calvary. For our redemption, he took our sins upon himself and gave us his righteousness so we can be made new, born again into the family of God by faith in him. He says here, for therefore, in verse 13, put on the full armor of God. We need to be fully vested in God's ways to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the devil's schemes in your life. He's sneaky. He's crafty. He's not going to roll up in your house in a ball of fire with a pitchfork and say, here I am to tempt you. He's going to come into your house very, very, very softly. He said, the Bible tells us that he was an angel of light. The word Lucifer means light bearer. That was his name in heaven before he was cast down. He's going to try to sneak in your life as an angel of light, as all these good things when it's really wicked. We need to be careful. Be seen clearly by the Word of God. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. He's the Prince of Darkness disguised. We need to be staying close to God's light. God's light exposes the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it, the Bible tells us. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. We need to stand our ground on the Word of God against the spiritual wickedness in this world, against the principalities of darkness, the Bible tells us. When the day of evil comes, when the day of temptation comes in your life, when the devil comes knocking on your door and temptation comes, what's the record looking like? Is it over and over falling for the same temptation, over and over again, falling like a devil's pawn kicking you over? Or are you struggling with it? Are you going to stand on the Word of God? When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Lord, help us all to stand our ground on the Word of God. And after you've done everything to stand, after all of it's through and through, we can stand holy before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He will present us to the Father, a spotless sacrifice, holy and true, by His blood. He says there, stand firm then. We need to be standing firm. But what are we standing on? Are we standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? that will never fail. It'll never falter, or we stand on the shifting sands of this world. I remember we went on a trip down there to Charleston, South Carolina, and we went on this big old island that's half of it's not even there. It's been washed away. Well, if you stand on the edge of the thing and you look down, I was knee deep in that stuff before I knew it. The island is being washed away, and the sifting sand, just like the Bible talks about, it's sifting. It's all the way moving. It's moving it from here to there. If you're standing on the world, it's like standing on the sifting sands, Jesus tells us. You're going to sink and you're going to fall. But if we stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, then we won't be falling. Then we'll be able, after you've done everything, to stand. We'll stand before God. Stand righteous by the blood of Jesus. He says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We need to have the belt of truth, God's truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free if you know the truth, and the truth is found in God's Bible. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He was looking at truth, the incarnate Word made flesh, Jesus Christ before him. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Through Jesus we are saved. Through Jesus we're sanctified. With him is our inheritance. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, God's truth wrapped around us, holding us up with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, holding our clothes together tightly, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We got ourselves buckled in. Some translations say your loins girt about. Back in the Old Testament days, when they were ready for battle, they'd take their tunic and they'd wrap it up, and you'd be wrapping your loins up for battle. We need to be ready for battle every day, following God's word. He said there, buckled around your waist. This translation that says the belt buckle with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We've got to have a breastplate, guard our heart. The Bible says, guard your heart above all things, for out of it floweth the issues of life. Our heart, so much comes from it, so much flows through it. But if we're not guarding it by the word of God, it'll all be in vain. If we're not guarding it by the word of God, with the breastplate of God's righteousness that he gives us by redemption, he gives us his righteousness. Like I said just a moment ago, Jesus took our sins upon himself, and then he gave us his righteousness so we can stand before God redeemed and born again. We have the breastplate of righteousness guarding us right here, guarding our heart, guarding our chest. It's one of the most vital places. When they make bulletproof vests, it's a vest for a reason, because this is where our vital organs are. We need to guard ourselves right here with God's righteousness. Keep it in place so that we may stand before him. We can stand in battle. He said there in verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Our feet shown with the gospel of peace. Are we walking around wherever we go? Wherever my feet takes me, wherever your feet takes you, we need to have the gospel of peace. Jesus says, peace be still in our lives. He wants peace. The Bible says the God of peace will be with you when we have our faith in him. The peace that passeth all understanding and guard our heart and our minds in the knowledge of Christ our Savior, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Have you got peace in your heart this morning? Peace that only God can provide by having your heart and your mind and your soul right with him, by faith in him. Have you got that peace? It comes from the gospel of peace. Your feet fitted with the readiness. When we've got peace with God, we can be ready to go about and share the good news of Jesus Christ and his righteousness with those around us. When we got the peace of God in our heart, we have this readiness. Is your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? We need to be ready to go about, to fight the devil's schemes in our life and in this world, and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Now, a lot of times we'll think of the medieval shields that wasn't about this big. Well, if you go back in the ancient days, them shields was big old tall things, covered your whole thing. They'd lock them together, the Romans would, so they'd form a big single file line. He said there, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil's going to be sending arrows towards your heart, towards your mind, towards your soul, towards your strength, towards your life. He's going to be sending the fiery arrows of sin, of temptation, of wickedness, trying to get you to fall. But what do we have to have here? Take up the shield of faith. And we come together here as God's children, the assembling of the saints that God tells us to. We come here as a church, the assembly Jesus commands us to, and we ought to be loving to. Well, what did they do, the Roman soldiers, when they had all these different people? Like I said, they locked their shields together. When they'd have their units together, they'd lock them together and then lock it above them too. As a team, as God's people, we're to come together and hold our shields of faith together against the evil day, against the fiery darts of the devil. Personally, we must do it. We must do it together. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Faith is more than just a feeling. People will tell you it's a feeling. It's more than that. It's a conscious decision to trust God. Conscious belief that God is higher than us. His ways are higher than our ways. Shield of faith. We can trust Him. Do you trust Him? You trust Him by accepting Him as Savior. Giving Him Lord over your life. Giving Him your soul. Your spirit. Lord, help us. With this, you can extinguish all. Notice here it says you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil. And the Bible says there's no temptation that God has not given you a way out of. There will never be a time in your life when God is not watching over you. He always gives a way out of temptation. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to commit sin, God allowed him away. He ran out of his robe, right out of that house. God will always give you a way, just as Joseph did, to flee temptation, to flee sin. He'll always mark it down here. Problem is, a lot of times we don't believe Him. A lot of times, instead of trusting that way and following God, then we fall into sin instead. We need to take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all, every one of them, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Lord, help us to do that, to extinguish these flaming arrows. If I get shot with an arrow, it'll hurt pretty bad. If I got shot with a flaming arrow, it'll just burn me up even worse and worse. So too will sin and the devil's arrows do in our lives. If you allow the devil to shoot you with a flaming arrow, it'll start consuming you. You need medical care right away. If I got shot with a flaming arrow, they need to be taking me to the hospital pretty quick before I burn up or get festered or something. Because sin, when it gets you, it's like a cut. It festers and it rots if you don't give it medical attention. Sin, if you don't give it spiritual attention, will rot you away. It'll rot your soul. It'll rot your body. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus Christ is righteous. He'll forgive us. He'll extinguish the flames. He'll wash us clean by His blood, by the washing of water and blood. He says there, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Notice here, He says it's arrows. He's not saying it's just some spear He's going to stab you with. It's arrows. Sometimes the devil will be far off from you and shoot them flaming arrows of sin at you, trying to deceive you, because he's a crafty one. The father of lies, Jesus called him. And we're not of him. We're of our heavenly Father. The Bible says, those that are lost, ye are of your father the devil, and his works you will do. But we are not of him. We're born again into the family of God. We are of our heavenly Father, an inheritance, co-heirs with Christ. He'll shoot them arrows at you from a distance, trying to be sneaky. Don't fall for it. We got to stay close to the good shepherd. Have the shield of faith ready at all times. We got to have our faith ready for God and for battling the spirits of darkness in this world every day. We got to be ready at a moment's notice. Have our shield of faith with us all the time. We can't lay it down. Trust God every day. Lord, help us. He said there in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. We got to guard our minds. The Bible says to think on things that are lovely, whatever is true, whatever is righteous. Think on these things. Be careful what you think on. Be careful what we fix our minds on. The devil would love to throw thoughts of shoot them arrows towards your head and get thoughts of sin. Before sin is acted out, it begins in the mind and it begins in the heart. We got to guard our hearts with that breastplate of righteousness. We got to guard our minds with the helmet of salvation. We need to hold ourselves in God's way and stand up with the armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Hold it in place. Our heads are very vulnerable to attack. We need to have ourselves clothed and defended by the helmet of God's salvation. How are we saved? The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So too are we sanctified. So too can we stand with Him through faith. Helmet of salvation to guard our minds. Careful what we fix our minds on. If we're filling our minds with this book right here, the Word of God, there's a lot less room for the devil's lies in our lives. If we fill our minds with this Word, when we're going through something, God can pull it out. Pull that file out of our mind and remind us of this promise. If we don't have the scripture in our minds memorized, reading it every day, when something bad's happening, it'll be harder for God to call a scripture to mind if you've never bothered reading it. Keep it in our minds. Fill our minds with God's Word. Because notice here in the latter part of verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only weapon found in the armor of God, for the child of God, for one of the saved saints in God's kingdom, is this book, the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, and He dwelt among us, John chapter 1 tells us. But me and you have the pleasure, the blessing, to have the written Word of God right here. God penned these words. It's God's letter to me and you personally, to all people. The sword of the Spirit. The Bible tells us it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can pierce down to the joints and marrows. It can pierce our soul. It's two-edged when we read it, it pierces our soul and it pierces those without that we can witness to. The sword of the Spirit. This is our only weapon. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper if you're following the Lord. They will be formed, but they won't prosper. Why? Because we stay close to Him and we have the sword of the Spirit. Don't let it go without. Don't let it be dull. Don't sit it around. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you'll notice, too, in these armor we went through, there's nothing guarding your back. Because we're not to be retreating. We're not to be turning away. The Bible says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, every bit of it. If we're laying one of the pieces down, we're opening ourselves up to attack full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. We don't need to be retreating, turning back. The Bible says we are not to be of those who turn back into perdition. That's turning back to damnation. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us in His kingdom. He died for us. He redeemed us on the cross of Calvary. Stand your ground, he says, on the Word of God with the sword of the Spirit, the only weapon we have. What weapons are we fighting? We're all weak on our own. Like that hymn says, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me in thy mighty hand. We're weak. We're nothing. Without Jesus, we are absolutely nothing. But with Him, we are children of God. And we can have this right here through faith in Him. Be able to stand in the evil day. God wants us to stand. He didn't want us walking defeated. The Bible says that we can have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are more than conquerors through Him that died for us. Through Him. It's all through Him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We got to keep our weapon close to us. The sword, it's our only weapon. It's a spiritual realm. It's not here in this world. It's not worldly. It's on a whole different plane. Take our battle to the spiritual realm through God. He says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He says, pray in the Spirit. The Bible says the effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Effectual, fervent, some translation says. Truly getting on our knees and praying to God, not just saying, Lord, it's been a pretty day. Lay me down to sleep. It's a nice night. Thank you, Lord, and that's it. No, God wants us to truly commune with Him through prayer. So many of our faults, so many of the lack of faith in our life. So many of not having the armor of God on us is because of a lack of prayer, a lack of communication with God. How can we be close with somebody? How can we claim we love Him so dearly if we so seldom we communicate with Him? We won't be on the same page with God if we don't communicate with His Word and prayer. Jesus said, faith like this cometh not but by prayer and fasting. We need to be on the same page with God. Pray in the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in all occasions, everywhere. All these things, we need to be in prayer so that we can stand for God in prayer before the Lord with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It says in verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for each other that we may do this, we may fulfill God's calling in each and every one of our lives. He wants us all to spread the good news of the gospel, to tell others about Jesus. There's people dying and going to hell every day, but God says, if you'll come unto me, you'll be in heaven someday. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, for with Him I am ambassador, even in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. He was requesting prayer. Apostle Paul wrote this thing. He was asking people to pray, because why is that? Because Paul knew without Jesus, he couldn't do any of this. Without Jesus, he couldn't stand against the evil one. Without Jesus, none of us can. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We should pray for one another and pray in the Spirit and stay close to God in communion with Him so that we can have God's righteousness. The Bible tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after that you have done everything, to stand. We can take a look in our own lives and ask ourselves, are we standing against the evil one? Are we standing on God's word? Or are we on the shifting sands of this world where we're sinking down? God didn't want us to do that. Back there in the disciples' day, they couldn't do it. They couldn't cast out that demon out of that poor boy because they didn't believe God. They didn't have faith. They weren't standing on His word and His way. They didn't have the armor on. They didn't have the truth. It's isn't just in Ephesians. It's found in the Old Testament. It teaches us of all this as well. It's all throughout the Holy Scriptures. All throughout it telling us that we can stand on the Word of God, stand on God's way. It's His way, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. We want to come to the Father, we go through Jesus. We want to follow Him, we go through Jesus. We want to stand against the evil one, we go through Jesus by faith in Him. Let's all bow our heads and take a look and reflect in your life. Are you standing against the evil one, or are you and the devil going the same direction? Are you following the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or is there a corner of your life that you've allowed a sin in? It's just like a fiery dart of the devil. It'll burn you and it'll fester. Let's quench it by the power of God's, the blood of Jesus. God is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to stand against the evil one as His children. One of these days we'll be with Him for all eternity. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If you look at our lives and say, this is not in line with God's Word. The Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Bible says, if any man sin, you can come before Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So take a moment and reflect. Is there a portion in your life that's not right with the Word of God? Take it to God. Take it to Him through faith. Father, we thank You, Lord, that through You, through the power of the Holy Spirit that You've given every believer, that we can stand against the fiery darts of the devil, Lord. We can stand our ground on You, the solid rock. Lord, help us to do that. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort us, Lord. Help us to stay close to You, our shepherd, Lord, the only good shepherd, the true shepherd of all things, Lord. We thank You that we're born again into Your family. Help us, Lord, to live for You and to love You with all our being, Lord, and to stand on Your Word and stand up with You, Lord. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people here today, Lord. Thank You for allowing us the privilege and the blessing to assemble here together, Lord, to examine Your Word. Help us to hide it in our hearts so we may not sin against Thee. Help us to stand against the evil one in the evil day, Lord. Your Word says the days are evil. There's evil all around us, Lord, but we know that Your goodness is far more powerful, far more glorious than all of the darts of the devil. We thank You, Lord, for Your protection. Be with us all as we depart from this place, Lord, and help us all to depart with the peace of God, Your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. It's beyond this world, that we may live and serve You, walking and talking with You all the day long, Lord. Thank You, Father God. Be with us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been a wonderful, tremendous blessing to be here with you in our Father's house today. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Be praying for one another and with one another. God bless you all, and we'll be back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Lord's house. Let's serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence every day. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.